All right, let's turn to the book of Galatians tonight. Galatians, we're actually going to be in chapter number 3. We know we've been in the fruit of the Spirit, and tonight we are on the subject of faith. And so we've read the passage many times, so I'll not read it again, but I'll kind of go to where we're headed to in Galatians chapter number 3. So thankful for the opportunity to preach tonight and praying that God will use the message to speak to heart. So let's stand if you could. And we're going to read in verse number 1. We're going to read through verse number 14, and we'll get into it tonight. Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and ye now, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Thankfully, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thankful for how it challenges us. And God, I know tonight that you have a message for your people, and I feel very inadequate to convey it. But God, I know that you can convey it through me. And so God, I pray that you'll do that tonight. I pray that you'll eliminate distractions from our minds. God, that you will help us to focus on your word tonight and the message that it has in it tonight for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed the series going through the fruits of the Spirit. I've missed several of them. We were at camp a couple of different weeks. But the ones that I've heard have been very good and very helpful and have challenged me. So tonight we're on the subject of faith. And let's just start with a good definition of faith. Faith, and this is just helpful for me to understand. Faith is, it's just that deep down belief, conviction, reliance, and trust in God that the Scripture is true, that God is the creator and sustainer of life, and that Christ is our only hope for salvation. That's a good definition of faith. That's what we live by. Now, if your Bible's like mine, if you go over to Galatians chapter number 5 and you get to verse number 22 and you get to the last word in verse number 22 and you get to the word faith, mine has a little number 2. Anybody have a little number 2 next to the word faith? Okay, there's a couple out there. Mine has a center column, and a lot of times it likes to just give you a little bit of an explanation of what the word means. So we come to chapter 5, verse number 22, and we look at faith, and it has a number 2, and I go to the center column, and it says faithfulness. faithfulness. Now, I'm not trying to be disruptive or argumentative, but my center column is not the Word of God. The Word of God is the words that are here. So I try to distinguish, well, why did they not use the word faithfulness? Why did they use the word faith? And I think there's a bigger picture happening in the book of Galatians, and it's important for us to understand why the word here is faith. And it's there for a reason. If you look at the definition, oftentimes it's used as faith, and sometimes it's used as faithfulness throughout the scripture. But there was a reason that they put the word faith here in verse number 22. And I think you're going to see that as we move along in the message tonight, why it's the word faith and why the subject is faith, because faith is a fruit of the Spirit. God is doing a work in your life to bring you to the place where you have faith. So think about this. Faith is a product of the Spirit of God working in our life. The more that we follow the Spirit of God, as Pastor did, I watched his message once again. I got to see Carl and Colin fight, you know, and he's being led by the flesh and he's being led by the Spirit. We see that battle going on. But the more that we follow the Spirit of God, the deeper our faith in God will become. So much so that we will not question or doubt God's ways, and God can do miraculous things in us and through us. So when we decide, I am going to follow after the Spirit of God, I am going to take that first step of faith, and I'm going to, for salvation, I'm going to ask God to save me, and there's new life, and there's new things there. You have been made alive by the Spirit of God. He's doing a work in your life, and now you're following the Spirit of God as He leads you, and it's a work of faith. It's steps of faith, as is often mentioned. The Bible says that in our text, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Our faith, it begins and it ends with God. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." It's recorded in Scripture that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God would love for every man to come to the place where he realizes he's a sinner and he places his faith and his trust in Jesus Christ. And deep down inside, I remember Pastor, he gave a testimony of a man that he was witnessing to, and I believe it was a man in Colorado. You can let me know if it was somewhere else. But he was witnessing to this person, and the person said back to him, and I'm not going to get it exactly right, but it was something along the lines of, how do I know that what you're telling me from the Bible is real? And Pastor's response to him was, because there's the Spirit of God working in your heart, telling you that the things that I'm telling you are true. And that's the Spirit of God working. There's other religions couldn't say those things. The Spirit of God is there. He has placed that measure of faith in each and every person. He desires for each and every person to come to Him and to trust Him by faith. Hebrews 2:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." In a lost person, that faith is just, it's a seed that the Holy Spirit has put in them to know that they can see, they can look out, they can see the stars, they can see God's creation, and they can know that there's something there. There's something different. There's something other than just what I see. This got here somehow. And then the Word of God can confirm that in their hearts, and they can be led to place their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And that seed of faith that is there can spring into new life. And we see that in souls all in this room right here. You can see it in your life, how God pulled you out from being just dead in the ground. And now, listen, it's amazing seeing some of the new Christians in our church, isn't it, Pastor? just the fervor and the zeal and wanting to be up here. There's guys up here all the time. You should stop by the church sometime and see. There's people wanting to help here, wanting to help there. There's activity on this church property all the time. And I love it because that seed that was in them sprang up into new life when they accepted Christ as their Savior. And now it's flourishing and it's producing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in their life. And it's other people can see it. They can see the Spirit of God working in their life from that step of faith that they took, and now they're following after the Lord. I love it. I love seeing those things. Faith is a central issue that Paul is dealing with the Galatians. And I don't have time to break down everything in the book of Galatians, and I don't think that would do us justice to what we're trying to convey tonight. But we're going to find out in chapter number 1 of Galatians that Paul starts with a short greeting. It's kind of an abnormal greeting. He starts with a very short 5-verse greeting, and half of it is doctrine. He kind of gets past the niceties, and then he goes into really giving him some doctrine. But by verse number 6 and verse number 7, this is what Paul is saying. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He's confronting them already in verse number 6, which is not another. He says, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And he's coming out, and now, you know, Mr. Nice Guy Paul, who's saying, God bless you and everything in the first section. It's like the gloves have come off and he's like, all right, we're going to get to the point here and we're going to start talking about what the problems are in the churches at Galatia. Look at chapter 2, verse 11. He's not done. Chapter 2, verse number 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Paul and Peter. Can you imagine that? Paul and Peter in this face-to-face match. What was going on here? But he doesn't stop there. Verse number 13, he goes after Barnabas, who was his companion in the ministry. He says, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. He calls the Galatian church in the passage that we read in chapter number 3. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? What happened? Why does Paul use such strong language and disputes about what's happening in the churches at Galatia? Peter cut off Malchus's ear. I mean, Peter was a man's man, right, Brother Colin? Peter was a man's man. He took take a sword and to cut somebody's ear off. He wasn't going for the ear. He was going for the head. And for Paul to have this fervor to stand up to Peter to his face and to correct him, there's some serious things going on here. Galatians, I believe, is one of the most transparent looks into the Apostle Paul's heart. His heart. I mean, he loved the church. He loved what God was doing. Galatians, it depicts that. He had a heart for the pure gospel message of Jesus Christ plus nothing. Jesus Christ plus nothing. Paul had fervently exhausted himself. Listen, his testimony was that he exhausted himself trying to work to appease God and to obey the law and to do everything just right until he was confronted with the gospel message, with the freedom in Christ, with the message of faith. That's what he was confronted with. And he knew that the law couldn't save anyone. So when Paul heard what was happening in the churches at Galatia, he determined to set things in order with this stern defense of the faith. Paul had spent years in Galatia teaching and preaching, and now they had been led astray. So when he starts the book in chapter number 1 and verse number 7, he says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." He says, listen, if somebody comes to you and they start telling you that it's Jesus Christ plus the law, Jesus Christ plus something else, and you have to do this and you have to do that, he says, no. He's talking about himself. Though I come to you and I tell you something different, that it's not by faith alone, that it's by faith plus this or faith plus that, he says, no. Or an angel from heaven that comes. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if it's Peter. It doesn't matter if it's Paul. It doesn't matter if it's Barnabas. It doesn't matter if it's anybody else. He says, don't believe them. Let them be accursed. Now, Paul wasn't saying that Peter and Barnabas were teaching false doctrine. That's not what he was saying. And that's not why he confronted Peter to begin with. But that they weren't helping the situation by trying to appease the Jews. And that was what was going on between Paul and Peter. Peter would get up and not eat with certain people because the Jews were coming in. And that offended Paul because Paul was doing a work in the Gentiles and he knew that that was causing problems. When Paul got saved, it changed him dramatically. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for it. He was on fire for the Lord. He labored. He worked, even through difficulty. In fact, in chapter number 4 of Galatians, verse number 13, he says, "Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first." He goes, you know that I was struggling with this infirmity, and I still preached the gospel because it was that important. And he wasn't about to sit idly by and to watch the churches at Galatia be torn apart by false doctrine. He wasn't going to allow those things. I've got a couple of slides I want to show you. I've heard it often said that there's a ditch on both sides of the road. So here's a road, and these are likely ditches. I think they are. But then there's woods on either side. I've heard that statement many times, and I don't believe that there's another book in the Bible, just to my study, other than Galatians, that really conveys that truth more than right here. Paul reiterates that in chapter 2, verse number 19. He says, For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. And then we know it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for it is righteous. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Okay, so we've got one ditch over here. We're going to call this ditch the law. And that is what the issue is in the Galatian church. They are saying that, yes, Jesus Christ came and he died and you accept him by faith, but you still have to live according to the law. You still have to do this and you have to do that and you have to follow this special day and you have to do this and you have to do that. And they were teaching the Gentiles that if they wanted to be right with God, that they were going to have to follow after the law. The ditch over there. But Paul came through Galatia and preached that it was by faith in Christ alone. Faith. Now, there's another ditch on the other side, and when we go to the other side, it's that philosophy that there is a ditch on both sides. There's one that says you have to do extra things, you have to do the law, but then don't overcorrect, because in chapter number 5 and verse number 1, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For, brethren," in verse number 13 now, "ye have been called unto liberty." But wait a second. "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. He goes, okay, listen, we've got the law and we've got the flesh. And that's what's happening here is they are wanting to teach that you can't go to one side and say that you have to believe and trust in Jesus Christ plus you have to do all the things according to the law. And Paul's saying, no, no, no. It is by faith. No, the middle road here is the faith life road. We're not going to live according to the law. Praise God. If we had to live according to the law, each one of us would have no hope. But thankfully, Jesus Christ came and he paid your price and he fulfilled the law. And now you can live by faith in Christ. But he says, now you have liberty. Only use not your liberty. And as is stated in chapter number 5, the works of the flesh says, don't use your liberty to go over here to the other ditch and justify that you can live according to the flesh. Paul is in his defense of the pure gospel message of by faith alone is saying it's not by the law and you can't use your liberty to go and to do whatever you want to do. There's a middle road here that we have to tread and it's the road of faith that God has given us. This faith life. You know, the idea that Paul didn't have to do anything. You know, if you stop and think about it, the idea that you didn't have to do anything, you just had to accept that free gift of salvation. When Paul had spent his entire life trying to appease God, and now he realized that it's a free gift from God, it's liberating. The weight is gone. The pressure is off. Praise God that he came and he fulfilled the law that you and I don't have to. We have liberty. Let's walk by faith. And we see many, for whatever reason, they will just stop coming to church. We see some fall into false doctrine. So Paul, in an effort to set things in order, he spends chapter number 3 and chapter number 4 talking to these people right here in Galatia about the faith of the patriarch of the Jewish people, Abraham. And so that's going to be where we're at the rest of the evening, talking about this man, Abraham. Let's talk about Abraham for a minute. If you want to find your place in Genesis chapter number 22, we'll be there here shortly. The faith of Abraham. He's about 75 years old. 75 years old, and God calls him to leave everything behind in the Ur of the Chaldees and to go to a land that he was going to show him, this land that was coming, this promised land. So he obeys God. He takes that step of faith and obedience to God, and he just trusts God. God has a gift for me and for the future. And I'm just going to trust God and I'm going to step out by faith. So we see Abraham, he begins to take that faith, that step of faith in his life. We see that. There's a famine in the land though, and he runs down to Egypt. We see Abraham, even though he's trying to follow after what God told him to do, we see him trying to deceive people because he's afraid that somebody's going to kill him for his wife's sake. So we see him trying to deceive people. And God promises him that he's going to have a child. And after about 10 years of waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, he gets impatient. And he has a child with Hagar, Sarah's handmaid. All along the way, though, I just reading through it even this week, you see so many times where it says that Abraham built an altar unto his Lord. It's like he got off track and decided he was going to do things in the flesh, and he was going to find a way to get this promise on his own. You know what? I don't know what God's doing. It's been 10 years. We're just going to do it like this. And he goes to the flesh side and he begins to try to figure things out on his own. You know what happens? I picked this picture, but I thought about, you know what? We get lost in the woods sometimes. We go down into trying to figure things out on our own and trying to do things on our own, and we get lost in a mess, and we get lost in a maze of trying to figure things out on our own. And maybe you're there where Abraham was, but there were so many times in Abraham's life where he knew he messed up. He knew he did wrong. And he would come back to the road and he would build an altar to God and he would get things right. It's amazing to watch Abraham's life and to see that he didn't have a dad. He didn't have a grandpa to go back to and to look to and to say to see their faith or to see something that was good in their life. No, it was Abraham and all of these things that we have and that we sometimes take for granted, the Word of God and maybe even a godly heritage in our life, and we take it for granted. But Abraham, still, he came to the Lord, you know, and he asked God for help over and over and over again. When he was 100 years old, though, he was over 100 years old, we see something amazing happen. So Genesis chapter number 22, I want us to look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." That's kind of scary. God did tempt Abraham. "And said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." God, why would you do this? You ever been there? God, why would you do this? God, I waited 25 to 30 years for Isaac to be born, and now you're asking me to take the son that I love up to Mount Moriah and offer him for a sacrifice. So what do we see? He's 100 plus years old. What do we see Abraham do? We see him rise up the next morning. We see him prepare everything. We see him get on the road. We see him make every provision along the way, even leaving the servants down at the bottom of the mountain, going up to the top of the mountain, building the altar, and pulling back the knife. We see him taking each and every step of faith all along the way. Almost like the Bible doesn't even give hesitation. I don't know. I don't know what the years coming up are going to be like. Honestly, I really don't like to think about it a whole lot. But I think we're in for some challenging days. We're going to have people that are growing in their faith. Abraham grew. Each and every time he made a mistake and he got off track, and he would come back to faith in his life. He would come back to that place and he would come back to that altar, and he would realize there's something very special about our God. God is trustworthy. And the angel stopped him and provided, just like he knew that it would. So we see Abraham going through these challenges, but having faith in God at this point in his life. What faith? No hesitation. What happened to increase his faith? I'm not going to read it for sake of time. But we could go down to chapter number 15, and there's a very interesting There's a very interesting read in chapter number 15. Mark it. You can read it later. But God tells Abraham, I want you to go get a cow, a goat, a ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon. I want you to go get all these things. And he says, I want you to divide them. I want you to divide them. I want you to take the goat, the ram, the cow. I want you to cut them in pieces, and I want you to spread them out. I want you to spread them out. I want you to put some on this side, some on this side, and you're going to have a row in the middle. So Abraham does that, and he sits there. He waits on the Lord. And the Bible sometimes adds details, and I'm wondering why it's there. But it says that the ravens came, and they were trying to take the carcasses that were there and take them away somewhere. And Abraham runs over, and he's shooing away the ravens that are coming. And you wonder, what in the world is all this that's going on? And then Abraham goes into kind of a sleep, and the Bible says that he's given a vision about what's going to happen to his lineage in the future, talking about the years of bondage in Egypt. And then he wakes up, and it's evening time, it's getting dark, and the Bible says that there's this smoking furnace and this burning light, and it's making its way through the midst of these pieces of animals, and it's going through this path. And you think, what in the world is going on? What does all that mean? Well, it doesn't mean a whole lot to us, but back in their culture, that is the way that they would establish a covenant. That is the way that they would, as they were walking through these two different parties, they would have whatever contract, whatever decisions that they were making to agree on, they would agree on them, and they would walk through these pieces of animals, these carcasses, with this thought in mind, that if they were not going to uphold their end of the bargain, then they deserve the same fate as those animals that are spread out all over the place around them. So it's something that was in their culture. And so they would walk through those pieces. So this smoking furnace and light goes through these pieces and is representing the presence of God passing through these pieces. Because the whole time in chapter number 15, it begins with this question from Abraham. How do I know, God? How do I know that you're really going to do what you say you're going to do? And so God comes down, and he comes in the midst of those pieces, and he passes through those pieces. But did you notice something? Abraham didn't walk through those pieces. Abraham didn't walk through them. You know why? Because this was God's unconditional promise to Abraham. God said, even though you mess up, and he's going to mess up big time in the next chapter, he's going to mess up. Even though you mess up, I am faithful. And this is bigger than you, Abraham. And if you'll just trust me, and you'll just follow me, I'm going to give you a nation. I am going to give you a seed. And I am promising you that all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed by you. That literally the Messiah is going to come through your lineage. And he's saying, I'm doing this work. Aren't you thankful that when God came to you in your dead, lost condition, that he didn't put stipulations on you? I need you to do this, and I need you to do that. No, God promised. He gave his promise to you that you could have eternal life, that you and I don't deserve, a home in heaven, that we could be part of the family of God, that ultimately we can be the children of Abraham because he had faith in the Lord and he just followed after what God told him to do. This contract that God made, he all along the way, he was making to Abraham. And Abraham, what did he do? He just trusted God. He just trusted God. There's so many things that happen in our life that we get off track. Maybe you're here, and maybe you came from a different background, of a different religion, and you're trying to work, and you're trying to labor, and you're trying to do this and do that to earn favor with God. My friend, that's not how you earn favor with God. You have faith and trust God, and then He will do miracles through your life. He will do amazing things with you by faith. You know what? Maybe you're here. Maybe you're here and you're like Abraham, and you've just waited so long that you're just trying to figure things out on your own, and you just kind of throw your hands up, and you're living according to the flesh now. You know you're in sin. You know you're doing wrong. But you're like, oh, well, I'm saved. God saved me, so I'm going to be okay. You're missing out. You're missing out. God has an amazing life of faith that He wants you to live. But we just keep wandering off the road, bouncing back and forth. And God says, you know what? If you will trust me, if you will follow me, then I've made this promise that I will do a great work through your life, and you will that you will give glory to His name. So we ought to have this unwavering conviction that drives us from faith to faith, and to look back and to see what God's done in our lives. In Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11, it says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Stop trying to live any other way, and trust Him. Just trust God. The just shall live by faith. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So walk in the Spirit, and wherever you are, whatever decisions you're making, whatever you have to do, be sure that you're walking by faith, that you're not trusting in your own goodness and your own works like the church at Galatia was trying to do, that you're trying to earn favor with God, and oh, maybe pastor will let me do this over here, or maybe I can do this if I do this and I do this. No, pastor more than anything, and God Himself wants you to have a life of faith. You just trust God. If you will walk with Him and you will walk in the Spirit and you will trust Him by faith, unlimited potential what God can do through your life. So tonight, let's ask God to help us to be people of faith. Let's ask God to help us to develop that in our lives, that fruit of the Spirit of having faith and just trusting the Lord.